In the short term, one answer to Africa's challenges could also lie within the continent itself. The sound there of an argument between a traveller and officials at Seme Crossing. It's the southernmost road border between Nigeria and Benin Republic. Millions of dollars worth of goods, from rubber to fuel to foodstuffs, pass through African road frontiers like this one each month. But transit is slow, congested, it's expensive, and customs officials often demand bribes just to let stuff get through. Well, the African Continental Free Trade Area, the treaty signed 3 years ago, was meant to reduce this type of hold-up. But many national parliaments have yet to ratify the deal. Cash-strapped governments are still too reliant on the short-term revenue that the tariffs provide.
I think we need to gather our best minds and resources to build railways, to expand the waterways within the continent so that we can have routes for trade within the continent.
The words there of Amy Jadasimi. She's a Nigerian businesswoman and CEO of Ladol. It's a major logistics, engineering and free trade area in the port of Lagos. For her, Africa's vulnerability to high global interest rates and the general disinterest internationally in investing in Africa's problems mean that the continent has to start focusing on finding its own answers to the economic crisis.
We had inflation, then we had the war in Ukraine, more inflation, and that all created an environment where everybody was very much looking out for themselves in terms of the nations of the world. The good thing about that for a country like Nigeria is it does give us the space to develop our own solutions, which are more fit for purpose than some of the solutions that have been foisted on us in the past. And I know, Ed, you and I have spoken in the past about my views on how paternalistic diktats from foreign governments about what Nigeria should do not always have the best outcomes for Nigeria.
Yes, they don't. But there will be those who say the problems of Nigeria are partly self-inflicted when it comes to issues around chaotic government, poor government, corruption, things like that, which deter foreign investment.
So the irony of the narrative about countries like Nigeria is that we're never good enough. And even in a perfect world with perfect governance, the criteria through which international business accesses our country is, I don't want to take any risk, and I want an incredibly high return, like 20% and things like that. And so even in situations where Nigeria was booming and things were going really well and the oil price was over $100, we were still being met with the same criticisms. And I think the takeaway from that is that no country in the world has developed purely based on foreign investment. We need to look inward and get to a level of development using our own resources and our own currency that enables us to engage with foreign investors in a conversation between equals, as opposed to the conversations that are going on now, where the terms and conditions are antithetical to real development. So I welcome foreign collaborations. There's a lot of technology transfer. There's a lot of positive partnerships that can take place. But I think in terms of funding, we have to be realistic and accept that the international community is not going to give us the billions of dollars we need to industrialize on terms that enable us to industrialize. We're going to have to find a way to self-fund to a large extent, create infrastructure, and then attract in foreign investment in a way that makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues around that has always been, hasn't it, that Africa struggles to sell its own assets, value added. The commodities it sells are all sold generally raw, aren't they, and not refined, because the investment hasn't happened on the continent to produce refined oil very much, or indeed other refined metals?
100%, Ed. The problem is we are not selling finished goods. You know, one of my passions and visions is to see, you know, made in Nigeria as a stamp of quality that's respected throughout the world. And we will get there. One of the big projects I'm working on right now is around agricultural export, processing local agricultural products that are currently almost all exported as raw materials to finished goods and selling them across Africa and across the world. And the ability to do that is something that we're very close to having. We are 95% of the way there, but we need to finish off that last 5%. That last 5% is really hard, and it requires locations like Ladol, which are like secure, sterile havens, where you can process to a standard and with the kind of quality controls that you need to have in place in order to sell your finished goods in Waitrose.
Or other supermarkets are available.
Yeah. Or any supermarket. No named. Nobody is endorsing any particular supermarket. So the policies will be, in my view, around making sure that we're dealing with finished goods and not allowing foreign dumping into the continent. On the other hand, I think the agreement could catalyze collaborations between countries to build railways, to expand the waterways within the continent, so that we can have routes for trade within the continent.
A vision of hope there for Africa from the Nigerian businesswoman, Amy Jadesemi. Well, that's it for this edition of Business Daily. Tomorrow, in the next of our series of programmes about investment in Africa, Peter McJobb will be looking at one country in particular, the Central African Republic, and Russia's growing influence there. Listen out for that.